Well, everybody, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. James Gillespie.
All right. Number one, every year I like to start off with a little Hebrew phrase because we all know it. Most of you all know it. Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. Okay? Because Scripture says, I will not return until my people cry. Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. Okay? So, when we say that as a people, as a nation, it unites us together. So, if you don't mind, Baruch. Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. Awesome. We will await his return. So, this is kind of a message that those who don't know, I'm the controversial guy. I'm the guy who starts all the fights in the messianic movement. And I'm that guy. And that's all right, because I want to do whatever it is the Father wants us to do. He didn't call me to placate and preach to you the same thing you've been preached to 1,000 times. Brother Lee talked about deception. And who in here came out of the Christian church? Most all of us did. Okay. There are some that was raised Seventh-day Adventist and different things. But in general, most of us got our concept of Mashiach through the Christian church. Most people didn't get that from Judaism. So when we left the Christian church, there were things that were highlighted to us as lies. Awaken to Torah Ministries, kind of our motto is Jeremiah 16:19, that we've inherited lies and vanity and things wherein there is no profit. So with that said, when we confront these long-held beliefs, these misnomers in Scripture that have been deeply embedded in us, because we'll read those Scriptures, but when we read them, we interpret them the way that we've been taught them rather than what they say. Okay, so this year, I was just doing a simple message for our congregation I thought was going to be fairly simple. And the Father showed me something in just one of my slides. And I did not know that that was going to make a firestorm that would go through the Messianic movement. A lot of you know I ran Watchman Radio for 20-some years. And when I taught this message, I turned that radio over to my best friend for years. And when I taught this message, which I thought was simple, it created such a fire that a radio station that I had started pulled me on and tried to expose me as a heretic. So understand, what I'm going to tell you today is not going to be comfortable for you. And hopefully I can disseminate it in a way that it makes sense to you, because we all come from the Christian church, and there's some things that we deeply hold as profound truths, but we need to start getting every untruth out of our lives. A promise and a prophecy. Matthew 19:27-30. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Okay, so I want you to get this mental picture in your mind. Yeshua has been down and he's talking to this young rich ruler, and he's basically, I keep the commandments. I do everything the Torah says to do. What am I lacking? And he says, well, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. And maybe that'll be, Yeshua knew that that was the one thing that was holding him up. It could have been anything. But when he said that, he follows that statement up with, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. Well, if you know the mentality, if you know the history of the time, if you know the culture of the time, then you understand that most of those people had been surrounded by people who worked in the temple and were collecting temple taxes and all of this kind of stuff. Basically, somewhat almost like Catholicism is, you know, you pay your penance type deal. And so the apostles were marveling at what he said. And in their minds, they began to think, well, if a rich man can't make it into heaven, how can I make it into heaven? And then Peter's like, no. I mean, Peter's kind of my guy because I'm that kind of guy. No, I gave up everything. I've given everything away to follow you. What do I get out of this? What's my reward for this? And this is where we pick up in this story. And Yeshua said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall be sit in his throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones. Let's make a mental note here. Number one, that's a prophecy, right? Because it hasn't happened yet. He hasn't been in the regeneration yet. And he's not sitting in his throne yet. He's here on the earth. And they haven't died yet. And they're not sitting in thrones, right? So that's a prophecy, right? If Yeshua doesn't fulfill that prophecy, is he a liar? Is he a false prophet? Do we get a rock and stone him? We have to, right? Because the Torah supersedes everything. The whole foundation of everything has to be laid upon the Torah. So if he was a liar and a false prophet, then he could not have been the Mashiach. I say that and tell you, I 100% believe he is the Mashiach. So I'm telling you, he couldn't have lied there. He couldn't. That prophecy has to come true. Who were the 12 there that he was talking to and told would sit on 12 thrones? The 12 disciples, right? All 12 of them were gathered around him like they always do. After he gets done telling all these parables, they go back up into the mountain and he explains to them what he said. So those 12 that were sitting there, he prophesied and promised to those 12, you're going to sit up on 12 thrones and you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel when I come into my glory. Let's continue to read. The 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So he's saying, those that you think are going to make it, those that you think are going to get rewarded, those ain't it. That ain't it. Okay? We're talking about the son of perdition. Who have we been taught the son of perdition was our whole lives? Judas, right? Judas is the son of perdition. I've kept all that were committed unto my hand except the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled, right? Matthew 10:4. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Almost every time you see Judas's name mentioned, the word betrayer follows that name. So what, every time we hear that word Judas, what do we equate it with? If I say conspiracy, what's the next word that hits your mind? Huh? Theory. Whether I say the word theory or not, if I say the word conspiracy, your mind automatically goes theory. No, there are legitimate conspiracies. So we have been trained from the Christian church that every time we hear the word Judas, we hear betrayer. Betrayer. And that's all Judas can ever be, is a betrayer. Judas has to be burning in hell because he's a betrayer. Matthew 26:14-16. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto him, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted it. They made a covenant with each other. The betrayer and the high priest made a covenant with each other. Everybody knows what a covenant is, right? I mean, we could go to the Yahweh walking through the halves of... I don't want to... Everybody in here know what a covenant is, so I don't have to elaborate on that a whole lot. It means death if you break that covenant, right? That's what a covenant is. If one party or the other party breaks that, it means death. Keep that in your mind. With him for 30 pieces of silver, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. 23-25. And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Another portion of scripture, Yeshua leans over in his ear and he says, Judas, what you do, do it quickly. Right? Do we think Yeshua knew who Judas was when he chose him to be a disciple? What's the Torah say if I set you up for failure? We'll get there. The most righteous act, Deuteronomy 19:18-19. And when judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witnesses be false witnesses, and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall he do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. James English now. If you accuse somebody of a sin unto death, and they get put to death, and it's found out you were a false witness against that person, what happens to you? You're supposed to get put to death, right? That's what the Torah commands. We're just laying a foundation here. Deuteronomy 21:9. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do what is right in the sight of Yahweh. We know what happened when Cain slew Abel, right? Innocent blood cried out from the ground. When Israel began to shed innocent blood in the land, they lost the land, right? Okay. So understand, the 12 that Yeshua picked to surround himself were holy men. We've had this wrong picture painted in our mind. Lee just talked about, or somebody here just talked, oh, you read the verse, where Peter sees the unclean animals coming down and he's commanded to take and eat. And he says, hey, no way. I've never had anything common or unclean cross my lips. Can anybody in here say that? Never had anything common or unclean cross my lips. And this is the ruffian. Peter's the ruffian of the group, is the way the picture paints him. But even the ruffian had never had nothing common or unclean pass his lips. Now let's get to where you're going to get your rocks and stone me. When the morning was come, all the chief priest and the elders of the people took counsel against Yeshua to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, there's that, every time you see that Judas, betrayer, which Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented. Why don't we ever hear that Judas repented? I'm going to let that hang there in the air for just a minute. What's the only unforgivable sin? How many times have you betrayed Yeshua? How many times have I betrayed him? I can't count. But Scripture makes this clear point that Judas repented. Judas repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver. Well, a couple years ago, I taught on teshuva. How do we do teshuva? We try to restore that which we had damaged. So he tried to give the silver back. So he is doing the act of teshuva. He didn't only repent. He's trying to restore that which he had damaged at this point. Let's keep going. And he brought the 30 pieces of silver to the who? Did the chief priest and the elders know the law? Should they have known the Torah? Were they not the ones who stoned Stephen? So they were clearly stoning people at that point, right? Okay. Saying, I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood. Who was Judas in covenant with when he betrayed innocent blood? Huh? Yeshua and the chief priest, right? He had covenanted with the chief priest, the high priest, to betray Yeshua. Okay, let's keep going. I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to that. What was the penalty for betraying innocent blood? Death. The only penalty for betraying innocent blood was death. And who was supposed to implement death on Judas? The high priest, the one he had confessed it to. Let him lay his hand on him first and cast the first stone, right? But he refused to do what he was supposed to do as the leader of Israel. And he said, Judas, you see to it. So Judas was the most righteous one there because he walked out and he hung himself to death. They refused to implement the penalty and the judgment of God, so he implemented it on himself. And that's why Yeshua said, it'd be better that you not be born, Judas. Because your brothers aren't even going to give you the judgment that you deserve. We forget that God's judgments are just as righteous and just as holy as his commands. Judas lost his life, but he didn't lose his soul. Because Yeshua made him a promise, Judas, you're going to rule on one of the 12 thrones of the tribes of Israel, judging one of the tribes of Israel. My Messiah wasn't a liar and a false prophet. Let's continue to read. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the pieces of silver. Who took the pieces of silver? I want you to mental note. And the chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field is called the field of blood. Mental note. Unto this day, then was fulfilled that which was spoken of by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took them 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, to whom the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as Yahweh appointed me. Who took the silver? I'm going to tell you, without me going any further, I'm going to tell you the story that's been in your mind until today. Judas betrayed the Messiah, he hanged himself, he fell down, and his bowels burst out, and he's forever burning in hell. Does that differ from the story that was in your head? It's what everybody believed, right? Or most people. Let's read the story in Acts, because we've been deceived. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Where would have the high priest been? In Jerusalem, right? So when Judas hanged himself, where would have he went to cast the silver back in? Jerusalem, right? How far were they a Sabbath day's journey away, right? Mental notes. I want to keep these mental notes going on in your head. Then they answered and said, and then they returned unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Yeshua, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names were about 120, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Yeshua, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to change the picture in your mind here in just a second, okay? Verse 18 and 19. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Who purchased the field? Who took the silver to purchase the field? The high priest. Okay? Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. So who fell? The high priest, not Judas. That's messing you, some of these people up, I'm telling you. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels were gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers in Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Ecclesia. That is to say, the field of blood. What Matthew say the high priest purchased? The field of blood. This is the field of blood. Now, let's put this in your mind. The high priest has died. What's the prophet say? When the high priest dies, you have to put another in his place. So they come back 40 days later. Yeshua's risen into the heavens. They've come back to Jerusalem. They're in the upper room. And Peter walks over to the window and he's looking out the window, which overlooked the field of blood. And he says, he's thinking about the high priest because there's an uproar in Jerusalem. They're trying to find a new high priest to replace the one who had died, fell down and his bowels burst out. And as he's thinking about that, he's thinking, we got to replace Judas too. Because Judas was part of us. That's the only reason Judas is mentioned in that scenario. Judas didn't purchase the field. He didn't fall in his. He's saying we got to replace Judas the same way they have to replace the high priest. Because this 12 has to continue on. One of them dies, somebody else takes his place. Let this bishop prick be given to another, right? Ain't that what Scripture tells us? Okay. John 17:12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that Scripture might be fulfilled. And you've been lied to your whole life that the son of perdition is Judas. Second Thessalonians, this was what Brother Lee was talking about that I was going to clarify for you, okay? Second Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As that day of Mashiach is at hand, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Was there one person when this scripture was written that didn't know who Judas was? So why are we waiting for this man to be revealed if we already know who he is? Because the son of perdition wasn't Judas. He's probably going to come in that same spirit of Judas. He's probably going to be some great religious leader. There's a guy running around Israel right now, the Yanuka. Could be the Messiah. Could be this guy. I don't know. Anybody heard about him yet? Could be. What I know is we think we're smart. We think we know things. But we've all been lied to. We have all inherited lies and vanity and things there is, wherein there is no profit. And this might not seem like a big deal to you right now. So what if Judas isn't burning in hell? It's a lie, though. And you know what this lie does? This lie tells you you're not good enough. Repentance doesn't really work. You've betrayed him far more than Judas ever did. A righteous man that walked with Yeshua and heard what he talked and lived what he taught them to live, betrayed him one time and repented and was denied forgiveness. That's what's been in your mind. That's what's been taught in your mind for year after year after year. And in your subconscious mind, every time you repent, you still aren't good enough. You are good enough. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He has washed all those old things away. Behold, all things have become new. Quit allowing the enemy to bring up your past and tell you you're not good enough. He chose you from the foundations of the earth. While you were yet in the loins of your father Abraham, he chose you. Quit allowing the enemy to bring up those past wrongs in your mind. To compare you and tell you that you didn't really ask for forgiveness. And you weren't really forgiven. Because if you were, you wouldn't have those thoughts anymore. You wouldn't have those feelings anymore. That's the lie of the enemy. And that's your subconscious mind, because you've had this stuff embedded in you from childhood, and we can't let it go. And so we struggle, and we continue to struggle, and we continue to doubt our own salvation. That's the trick of the enemy. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in him? Then that's a promise. And my Messiah didn't lie, and he wasn't a false prophet. And that's my message. Anybody have any questions?